the W2VL repeater. That tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 o'clock a.m. That tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. That tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
VP for talk at base station.
K2KNB.
B2KNB. Rich, hi from Matt. How are you doing, Rich? I just got off the 3838 net. I've been up at 5 o'clock this morning. I got up and watched Dragnet, made an early breakfast, and I got on the net at 6:30. Just finished. This dipole, thanks to my friend W2NDR. You know Matt, he's always at the flea market. It works phenomenal. I am actually on 7580 most of the time. I love this band. It's a great band. Back to you.
Okay. Well, I got up to had a check on a delivery from FedEx of cat food so that my cats don't starve. So that was my morning. Anyway, most of your work is working at home.
I'm working at home. I start working with it's 22:08. I start working an hour and 20 minutes. Basically, I have a Surface Pro from the world. I mean, I can use my regular PC, but the Surface Pro, once I connect to a VPN, I can get into department shares without going for a web VPN. So I have that on my right. So I got my remote hidden off right next to me with the mic, but I push everything back. You know, I move it out because it's got the cable. So I put the Surface Pro next to me and have my regular computer next to me. I've been doing training on, like, I'm taking classes online for a company the college signs is up for. I take anything, but I'm doing Windows 10 for now. And once I'm done with that, I'll move on to other things that interest me. But basically, we use a product called Microsoft Teams. So I'm communicating with my supervisor and the rest of my team members, and we get tickets. Can't take tickets with people to get the shares and do other stuff. and I'm doing as much as I can. I think we'll get back to campus by, I think by May, mid-May or by the beginning of June. Let me drop it. I'm going to time it out. Turn my transmission again. So my supervisor told me they got some laptops coming into the main campus, which is 10 minutes from my house. She needs volunteers, so when they get delivered, I will probably load them up and then they'll get the foot. But they'll give me gloves and that, but nobody's there, so I'm essential. So if I go to the Avenue campus in Selden, it'd be one or two people, so I'm not worried about this. But I hope I can go soon, because I'm going stir crazy here. Last week, it was the 12th, I got my car. I haven't done HF mobile in a car, so since 20 is a daytime ban, I flew a 20-man. I just drove around my neighborhood. I even drove down in the area to the next neighborhood over in Stony Brook, and I had DX Summit up on my phone, but I used it to look for stations. Then I heard a station coming in through my car, and I worked Ireland, north of my car. On April 12th, it was at 2233, which would be 1833 U2C, and a guy gave me a 5-7 signal report. So maybe I'll do that again this week, just to get out of the house. Back to you.
All right. Well, it's good that a lot of people are rediscovering their equipment and what they can do with it. And as far as, I guess you are essential to the college. I guess the advantage for the college is that by the time you go back, there won't be students. I guess they start a summer session at some point, but you're going to have to figure out what to do. And then they're going to have other problems, because there'll be statewide restrictions or lifting of restrictions, but you also may find variations from county to county. And that's one of the things they're concerned about, that some of these students come from Nassau County. And in fact, I believe there's a teacher, a professor right behind me, that teaches at the Brentwood campus. So you got to wonder whether he's coming from Nassau, whether there'll be any restrictions on him going into Suffolk. Anyway, it will keep you busy. So you work for an hour and 20 minutes this morning, and then what? You have to log in a few more hours during the course of the day?
Start at 9, and I would have the surface bra on me. I have it right. I could put it. I have that in my kitchen. I did it on my kitchen table, and then I had my iPad next to me. But then let me go in my office. And then last week, to get to change the pace of things, I had my Retina laptop, which I have Linux on. I did my trainer on that. No, I just have to sit there and just monitor the tickets. And then I watch Cuomo's, our governor's update every around 11-ish. So I have this thing called Teams from Microsoft, because I log into it. I got the app on my personal computer. It's on the college laptop or Surface Pro. But I actually put it on my phone. So if I'm mobile, I can see what's going on. Like if somebody sends me a question or my supervisor contact, I could still communicate, and then I could put away when I take my lunch. So I'm just trying to do it like a regular normal 9-to-5. I take my 15-minute break, I take my lunch, then I come back. You know, I'm using my cell phone. People send me email. I get a lot of requests by email. I put a ticket in, and then I send the person myself, and please call me. And then with Teams, if they have it on their personal computer or a college computer, I could actually talk to them through a chat or actually with a camera, and they could see me and I could see them. It's a great product. You know, it's more secure than what's the other one? Zoom, because it's only the people in your organization are in it. The group. Back to you. And to RBP for ID.
K2K, Envy. All right. I was going to ask you something else, but then just lost it. So how are the classes running? Just like they were on campus, a professor and his class sign in at 11 o'clock, they have their class, and then there might be another class at 1 o'clock. Is it that widespread, almost as though it were a normal day in the building?
Well, I understand what they did is they went on, they really ramped up. They even gave laptops out to students that might have a computer. They issued a lot of laptops. So when the students started computing, I mean, the guys that take care of the students, so they're actually considered faculty, they're called professional assistants. Well, because of this, they usually report to a coordinator, report to the director of the library, but now they will report into the VP of ITF. I guess there's going to be changes. When I go back, you know, they always want to, they could merge the educational technical with my department, and we will be one. I don't know what's going to happen. There's going to be changes. I think what will happen, like they answer your class. So say you have a class at 1 o'clock. Some professors might use Zoom, so you could see the professor if you get a camera. They use Blackboard. They do the work that way. And I talked to the bedside chair. He had a problem with a laptop. He couldn't get it online. And his students are doing fine. I mean, like, now when it comes to lab, like a class like bedside, the students might witness the veterinary program. The people that run it are veterinarians. So they might do the dog or a cat, and the students watch it. So with something like that, they can just roll a video up, say, from YouTube. If a guy used to work with that left the college, he got let go as a VP, but due to only being down, he teaches chemistry, and he teaches at Houston Community in Houston, Texas. And you could put stuff that simulates doing chemistry experiments or just video. So that's how it seems to be working out pretty good. We know what's going to happen in enrollment. I think what's going to happen is, let me drop it. Enrollment's been down. I was supposed to get a longevity check last on the 16th. They delayed it 6 months, but I got the stimulus check, which was actually better. It was more money, and then it take taxes out. And the exempt employees of the college are actually going to do a lag payroll, because those are the guys that make big bucks. So the college is doing a lot of things. I don't think anybody's going to lose their job. I think part-timers will get hit first before anything. But I think we'll come back strong. I'm hoping what will happen is people who lost their jobs in service, they'll come back to the community and go, we got programs like in welding, manufacturing, and then students will be afraid maybe we'll go away to college. Come back home, and they're paying room and board. So I got a feeling a lot of students are going to not go back to the school. Say they finished 1 year at Geneseo. They'll go to Suffolk for their second year, or maybe students won't go away to college. They'll go to Suffolk instead because they're not sure what's going on. So I think we will get enrollment going up. I think that will happen as a result of this.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens. A lot of people wanted to get some of their money back. I don't know if that's what you were kind of saying, but because they paid room and board, and that's not. And I think some colleges have said that they will refund that money. Others, I think, maybe have said no. But you may see a lot more online classes at this point. It helps a college consolidate. In some instances, not to have such a large campus, particularly if it's a community college supported by public funding. So I don't know. It'd be interesting. Anyway, looks like it might be a nice day today. That would be unusual. Maybe no rain, although it looks a little overcast. But not bad. Otherwise, you and your wife are doing okay?
My wife works from home. She has it better. With Suffolk, they make everything more secure, so then you can remote in with your home computer into a business and where you work. A lot of companies can set it up that way. You just have to put a Cisco secure VPN. But with that, if you have, say, a browser on your own computer, even though you got the VPN connected to your remote in, you know, if something gets like a virus, it can infect. So, but my wife's Toro, she remotes into her office computer. That's what she does at 9. She has the computer downstairs. But I actually got sad news. There was a guy that passed away. I got an email from the admissions council. A guy just got married in December. 31 years, found him dead. His wife was a nurse. They're not telling us what killed the guy. I got a feeling it could be corona. You know, maybe he didn't have the symptoms. It was just underlying. I don't know. But I got an email from, you know, John, you know, Ray Salvador, president. You know, you guys know each other because you work at W2HCB. He sent out an email last night saying, with heavy heart, I have to send out this message. We've just found out W2CA passed away from coronavirus. This one, I will post any deals when we get them. So I put W2TGA, TGA. I put it into QRZ. I said, oh, my God. The guy, I have his number in my cell phone. I gave this guy his BE exam. I was the BE when I met this guy. And the last time I spoke to him, he was going to buy his new Icon radio. His son, he's divorced. He's bringing his son down. This guy used to be a Suffolk sheriff, and then he went from the sheriff's department. I don't know if he retired or just transferred. There was an IT guy in the library, the Port Jeff library, 48 years old. I said, oh, my God. This is like really, he's got other kids over, but he used to bring his son down, you know, to the Pope and House at Great South Bay. So if they have a funeral or whatever, I'm thinking to do something like that, but this really hit me hard.
Yeah, that's kind of what makes this different than, since kids can be, what makes it different than the flu is that you don't know too many people, if any, that died from the flu. They may be, it brings on certain complications and people die and it's flu related. But here, you know, it's so widespread, it'd be unusual to not know someone or multiple numbers of people that have been affected by this. So, yeah, somebody had mentioned that someone in Great South Bay had passed. I don't know if that's the one that you're talking about now, but yeah, you know, at 48, he probably had some underlying conditions. That's generally what they seem to find, some diabetes or heart disease or something like that. But sad, yeah, 48 is definitely sad for that to have occurred. I don't even know what to say with that. K2KMB.
Well, this gentleman, last storm left, he had issues where he had to get injections in his neck and stuff, like, you know, like with his vertebrae, where it kills the nerve. He was having issues like that, you know. I don't know if he got it because he had a job where he was physically, I don't know how this happened. So I was thinking maybe it had something to do with it. I don't know. You know, he was a nice guy. He was like a tough guy. You know, he was a tall guy, over 6 feet tall. And one thing I remember about him, we ordered jackets, Great South Bay, from a vendor in, I think, Babylon. I was going to, but the jacket, I didn't like the way it fit. I wasn't sure. So I went out and bought my own members only, I wear Land's End. So I ordered a Land's End jacket in red. So every time I do a public service event, you could see me. And I sent it to the place, it's Viking. They're in Babylon. They're in Babylon. Dinner, I think, whatever, and they embroidered it for me. Well, this guy went to order a jacket. He's a big guy. It didn't fit him, and I had to send it back. So that's some of the things I remember about this guy, you know. So they're going to pass on more information. Was anybody from Lima passed away? I think I saw some memos you sent out. Did anyone pass away from Lima that with the coronavirus? Back to you. N2RBP for ID with KD2KNB.
Yeah, fortunately, no one that I'm aware of. I'm just trying to think. Yeah, there's no one at this particular time. Yeah, we did have unfortunately a bunch of passings between December and February, maybe even into March. I'm not sure anybody was even thinking about whether they would be related to COVID at that point. But no, nobody that I know, unfortunately. Anyway, Matt, let me sign. I have some stuff I have to take care of before 9. Almost 8 o'clock already. All right, have a good one, and stay well. K2KNB.
K2KNB from N2RBP. Okay, 7-0 Rich, you have a great day, and hopefully it'll be sooner than later. We have meetings in person, but until then, we'll just do the meetings on with Go 7-3. Have a great day. K2KMB WBTCS.
Yeah, good morning, Steve. How are you?
So far, so good. Good morning.
I was waiting all day for a FedEx shipment for cat food. And, you know, it said guaranteed to be delivered by the end of the day. Well, I have heard sometimes that they do deliver late, just to finish their route or whatever. And it could be 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night. So I got up this morning and I took a quick look and it said it had been delivered and I had nothing. So I called and I filed a claim. But it turned out I had two deliveries yesterday and the number that I looked at was the earlier one. So I was filing a claim for something that I had delivered. And then when I delved into it more deeply, the what was supposed to be delivered yesterday will be delivered today. So that was my morning, messed me all up.
Hey, never a dull moment. Hang on 1 second. Yeah, just getting onto the expressway, onto the watch thing. Anyway. Yeah, I, my experiences with them are at the office where we have definite hours and they don't deliver after a certain hour.
Yeah, that's definitely a problem. And, but my friend had told me that he was expecting a delivery and he, you know, he looked at his door and 11 o'clock at night and it wasn't there. And when he got up in the morning, it was there. And that's FedEx ground, because I think the drivers are paid by the delivery. At least that's the way it started out. It started out as RPS delivery service. So they're paid, and so I guess, you know, you try to get everything done in the course of the day. It's weird. All right, listen, let me run. Let me go down for a minute and grab another cup of coffee. And I'll come back up and get your candy.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere for a little while anyway. I mean, you'd be too zizzy. Brewed cup of coffee. WB2ZSE.
Yeah, actually, I went down, got the cup of coffee, came back up, sitting here doing some stuff, and then I said, whoops, forgot to call feedback on the radio. Anyway, are you going right into work, or are you making a stop, local stops?
No, I'm going into the office. I had checked with them already to see if they needed anything, and they're good right now. I call them on the way in so I don't have to go in and come back out.
Okay. I tell you, if the weather was a little warmer, I'd be doing gardening and antenna work. I just can't. I go outside and it's, you know, it's 48 degrees and the wind is blowing a little bit, and I just say, I'm not staying out here.
Yeah, I understand. Although it's supposed to get into either the high 50s or low 60s today, and then it's supposed to cool down tomorrow.
Yeah, I have three houseplants that we take out for the summer, and normally they would have been out already by now. I always take a little bit of a chance, but as long as the temperature is mid to high 40s on a steady basis, I'll take them outside because that's what happens in the fall before I bring them in. It's that temperature. But we had a couple of days last week it dropped back down into the 30s. So I need to get them out of the house. They want to get out of the house.
Yes, I am sure that they would like to.
Yeah, it gives them a chance to bloom in full color and get some fresh air, get those bugs propagating on them. So we'll see.
Yeah, pollinate away.
And I think we missed, I think we missed the forsythia of spring, because I think that as the forsythia was blooming, so was the wind and the rain. So I think that was like very short. I think maybe I saw leaves for about 2 hours, the yellow leaves, and that was about it.
Yep. We got. I saw them. I remember seeing them because you catch them on the parkway over in West Hills. Confusing. West Hills is to the east and East Hills is to the west.
Yeah, but just remember one is Nassau County, one is Suffolk County, so each is entitled to their own descriptions. So, anyway, as I said, I think they built, I thought they built an OEM communications, but I thought it was on Roslyn Road, maybe south of the northern state, but I thought that was part of the East Hills development. I forget, because the guy Dave LKJ, I think was his call, was very active in Aries, but also very active in the town of North Hempstead and emergency radio projects.
Yeah, sort of in the vague area in the back of my mind. I sort of remember bumping into him somewhere, and I just don't know where it is. But south of the Northern Parkway on Roslyn Road is really nothing but a small shopping center. Well, but south of the parkway is residential, and there's a temple over there. But maybe, let's see, what would it be? Searing? Shelter Rock Road, maybe.
K2KB. I don't remember the location, but it was, I believe it was town of North Hempstead rather than East Hills, but I forget the whole thing. But I think he was able to get permission. He got an antenna up there. He got a, I think he put in an ICOM 706 Mark TG. But, you know, things that happened after Hurricane Sandy in terms of preparedness are soon forgotten.
Yeah, I understand. Well, they will see. I sort of remember something up in the Port Washington area, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I don't think he was there. I think it was much much closer to the highway. But I don't remember if it was actually in East Hills itself, one of their buildings, or some building town of North Hempstead, somewhere in that area. Anyway, I guess it's supposed to be clear today, but the sky still looks like it wants to rain some more, like we haven't had enough.
Yeah, it's raining out towards the east end. It's just clipping the east end. But I guess the clouds extend in this far.
And by the way, I've still never had any note from Doug.
I gave him your phone number.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I get some phone calls sometimes that have a number but no message. But I, you know, nothing verbally where I've ever heard from him.
Well, I gave the number I usually talk to you on.
Yeah, look, maybe he's busy, more important stuff, so. Not a problem. We'll get to it when we get to it. What else? Nice to see green grass. A couple of my neighbors have the zoysia, so, you know, it's kind of a yellowish color throughout most of the year, but, you know, it looks like it's coming up.
Yep. Anyway, maybe I'll give him a call later. I'm sure I'll have time. And, maybe sending him your email address might be easier.
Yeah, that'd be fine. No problem. That's it. Time to get to work. Yeah, let me sit and get some stuff done here. Catch you later. It'd be B2ZSE, K2KMB.
Okay, I take it. By the way, I think the connection's working fine.
I missed part of what you said. What's working fine?
Okay, I'll repeat that. I said, I take it that the connection is working fine.
Yes. Yes, apparently. We haven't had any complaints other than, I'm trying to think, did we have a complaint? Yeah, I think it was a mechanical thing, just not using it properly. And we still haven't resolved Glen Oaks up there, I guess.
No, I don't know what's going on relative to that, but, as I said, I'm trying to keep away for the moment.
All right, let me get to work. I'll catch you later. KGKNB.
WBTCS.
Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
And to the Juicy Mobile, listening.
W2VL repeater.
Good morning, Ron. K2KNB.
Well, there, Richie. I just picked up some things from CVS. How are you today?
I'm good. My daughter gave us dropped off some food for us yesterday. And, and there's the phone. Yeah, so we're doing okay. Let me grab this line. I'll try to get back to you, KTK and me.
Okay, Richie.
W2VL repeater.
Queen Baker Victor. K2QBV, Pomona, New York. Listening, repeat. McQueen, Baker, Victor, Rockland County, New York. Listening, repeat.
Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL Repeater.
WA2AAE, this is AC2RU. Can you copy now, Harvey?
Yeah, that transmission was fine. There's a little bit of background noise, but you're totally copyable and not breaking up. So, you know, slight thing, depending on exactly where you are as far as height goes. Probably pretty low since you're not too far from the water, but an outside antenna would probably help considerably.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I think my elevation is about 8 or 10 feet. I had to come outside the Faraday shield while there and plaster construction inside my house.
Yeah, that transmission wasn't as well or wasn't as good as the initial one. You're again noisy, so it's hard to copy. Get up, get a ladder, climb up on the roof.
Yeah, I don't know. With my knees, my ladder climbing days are pretty much behind me, but I'm still forced to do it to put the Christmas lights up.
Yeah, some people around here leave them up all year long. They just unplug them when they're not using them, and they figure they're inconspicuous enough nobody will know.
Yeah, the only trouble I find with that is that, you know, there's a lot of weather damage, and I wind up having to go up there and fix
fixed all the bulbs anyway, so it doesn't much matter whether I take a stab or not.
Yeah, that's why a menorah is easier. You just screw the bulbs in and out on your kitchen table. But, yeah, you're going to have to get up some sort of outside antenna. And I'm sure that will make a world of difference. Have you been on the low bands at all? You haven't tried that recently?
No, not in a while. I have a, I think it's a 940 Hallicraft transceiver. I also have a 520 that was my dad's old rig. That's a tube rig. I haven't used either one of them in probably a year. I redid the stand, which is where my rig is set up normally, and haven't put it back since the painting is all done. But it's on my list. Maybe next week we'll talk on HF.
Yeah, well, the to-do list. A lot of people have a lot of things they've wanted to get done. And I've taken advantage of a little of the time. I haven't done everything I wanted to, but you get lazy, and that's the problem. It's very easy to get lazy and not do anything.
Yeah, exactly. Very easy to get lazy. You know, I had all the good intentions to do all this stuff. I must say, though, I did last week manage to transfer from VHS tape into video about four of the 500 VHS tapes I've had, and I said I was going to start doing that 8 years ago when I retired. I finally got to do a few of them last week.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's a time-consuming thing. You just can't put them in and let it run. You got to watch it to make sure it's doing it right. I know we have some tapes around here. My wife keeps on nagging me to send them out to one of these conversion services and let them do it. But again, one of these days, one of these things I'll do. It's just a matter of getting the desire, I guess, or the energy. I just like to get some nice weather. I mean, the weather has been so bad that you get one or two nice days, and then you get a week of overcast and rain and cloudy and chilly, so you can't do too much outside either. Just wait for the beep when you pick it back up so the timer can reset.
Maybe we won't continue this experiment any further. I'll try and get my 20-meter rig up on the air, and we can talk on sideband maybe next week. How does that sound?
Yeah, we can certainly give it a try. That transmission was much better. Again, I don't know if you moved or whatever,
Maybe a plane flew over. Anything's possible. But no, we can try 20, see how that works.
Okay, that sounds real good. No, I'm standing in the same spot. I haven't moved, but I guess, you know, I'm so low and there's, you know, there's houses in my way and everything else, trees, so I understand what's going on. I need to get an antenna up on the roof to make this really work.
But definitely, because with the 5 watts the HD puts out, everything is needed to help. I'm running, I guess, around 45, 50 watts right now, so, you know, I can be a little bit less critical with the antenna, even though I do have a decent antenna up.
Yeah, well, this 19-inch piece of bus wire stuck in the center conductor of the SMA is definitely suboptimal.
Yeah, well, you could try cutting a 5/8 piece, see how that works. But, yeah, all right, we'll try again next week on 20, see how that works.
Okay, real good, Harvey. Stay well, stay safe. Best to your wife and your kids and everything. Hope everybody there is good, all the grandkids. This is AC2, are you clear?
All right, John, you take care. Say hello to Chris for me. And we will speak to you hopefully next week. Take care.
Okay, 73. WA2AAE, are you still on the machine, Harvey?
Yeah, I'm listening. WA2AAE. Hey, John.
I just stuck a counterpoise on the ground. Did that help any, by the way?
Makes a big difference.
Okay, I just clip-lead a piece of wire onto this chassis mount SMA connector that I screwed in, and I guess that acts like a little bit of a counterpoise. I forgot to put that on when I walked outside.
Yeah, you're pretty much full quieting now, so it made a big difference. I think one of the issues is a lot of these newer little Chinese radios are all plastic. And when you grab the body, you're not even acting as a counterpoise because you're insulated. But that little extra 18-inch piece of wire did the trick.
See, isn't science wonderful?
Yeah, well, listen, you know, being an engineer, you should have figured that out ahead of time. But, yeah, you're more used to the microwaves, I guess. But now it works fine now, and, you know, you're full quieting, no trouble hearing you at all.
Well, I had it figured out, but having it sitting on the desk when I picked up the handy-talkie, I didn't pick up the counterpoise, so I walked outside without it.
Yeah, you said in your email that you have an SMA connector soldered to the wire. You know, maybe you can solder a piece of that counterpoise onto the SMA so it's always there.
Yeah, it's a chassis mount SMA, so there's four holes, so I can put a little, I don't know, a 440 or a 632 screw and just screw it right down onto there, or put a lug in, put it, and solder it on. That's probably what I'll do.
Yeah, that'll work fine. And that way it'll be appointment and fixture. What I find interesting is that 20-inch antenna, which you said you had ordered from, I guess, China or whatever. Yeah, I've gotten some of their stuff, and I found that it's been miswired, misconnected. So if you can take it apart and see what they did inside, they may not even have things connected up properly. That's why it didn't work.
Yeah, that worked worse than the rubber ducky. I couldn't even capture the... I couldn't even capture the machine at all, you know, and get the quieting and hear that, and then hear the beep come through afterwards. I couldn't do that with that antenna. So the rubber ducky works better than that.
I had bought a Ballon, or actually received Ballon, on eBay, I don't know, 6-7 months ago. And I got it, and for some reason, it just did not work well with the short wave receiver I wanted to hook it to. So I put it on my antenna analyzer, and like the SWO is 6,000,000 to 1. I opened it up, it was totally miswired. So they just connected wires up any place they felt like and shipped it out.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you go to the low bidder to have the work done, as we found out many times at Sperry, right? I remember they sent a bunch of harnesses and had them all wired in Haiti. And when we got them, everything was open. I had all these connectors. Everything was open. They just crimped the pins on the over the insulation on the wires. They never stripped the wires. They just crimped the pins on and pushed them into the connectors. What a mess.
Yeah, I remember that. That was their effort to save money on one of the programs, and it wound up costing them almost twice as much because I think that they had to send all the cables up to Waterbury and have them redone.
Right, not to mention all the troubleshooting time to figure out what was going on, and then to rip them all out of the cabinets after they were all installed and then reinstall the new ones. It cost them a fortune.
Well, that was one of the problems. Once we were bought over by Burroughs, it was a slow downhill slide. The engineering decisions weren't always the right ones. The money wasn't always there to support the programs. We all know the end result.
Yeah, we sure do. Hey, listen, have you had any contact with Pat Valentino since he left, I guess it's Yonkers, the last time I saw him when we were working up in Yonkers?
Well, last time I saw Pat was in Yonkers, and I have not seen or heard from him since then. I guess he went out to Hazeldine, or BAE, in wherever that is out here on the island. And he worked there for a while, but that's all I know.
Yeah, after he left, I actually talked to him while I was still in Yonkers. Perhaps I was when I went out to Jersey. I worked in Jersey for maybe 2 or 3 years, and then I couldn't take the commute anymore. But he was then running the whole receiver group out there in what I call Hazeldine. You're right, but it was some form of BAE. Maybe it had been Fairchild. I don't know. It went through, you know, like us, it went through many, many name changes.
Yeah, well, doing receivers was sort of surprising me because he was always an antenna guy. And, you know, all the years at Sperry, he always worked on designing antennas, so I guess they needed a receiver guy and he filled the bill.
Yes, that's right. He was out there for some little problem they had with an antenna, and then they needed a receiver guy, and he was more than happy to move over and take, you know, and take that job and keep himself employed and out on Long Island.
Well, he had a nice commute even on the island because he lived in Port Washington or something like that. So, it was not quite as close as Sperry was. But, yeah, we went by there a couple of weeks ago. We were taking a ride just to get out of the house. And we passed the BEA systems operation out there, which, is the old Hazeldine. And, they're still in operation, and I guess Jersey is still going strong, so as long as I keep on going and keep on getting on pension checks, that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's right. That's the most important thing. The pension checks got to just keep coming in.
Yeah, WA2A. Yeah, without that, how can you buy your toys to play with, right? But, we've been doing a little bit of work on, 20 meters and 40 meters. As I mentioned to you, I bought this little 20-watt portable transceiver that comes out of China. And it's very nice, so we've been playing with that. We ordered that, I guess, shortly before this whole disaster hit. And it came, and it's been giving me something to do to keep me busy.
Yeah, I copy that. Like I said before, I don't know if I was making sense at that point in time was all garbled. I have two high-frequency rigs. I have a 540, a 520, and a 940. The 520 is an old tube one. This is my dad's transceiver, and I just can't get rid of it, so I keep it as nostalgia.
Well, a lot of those
those old transceivers are still quite good. I know, I guess, was it Kenwood who made the FT-101 series? And there's still a lot of those out there. A lot of people still using them. And the nice thing about a lot of those transceivers, you can actually repair them if you have to.
Yeah, yep, you can. You certainly can. The old tube one, certainly. But, I think it's got a pair of 6146s in the file.
Now, you look at a lot of this new stuff and forget it. With all the surface mount, you can barely see the parts, leave alone do any repairs. My old ICOM 751A that I used, you know, that's sort of at the end of the tubes and the beginning of, the semiconductor. So it still has parts that you can actually see if you have to replace something on the board.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Very hard now. My eyes are not, definitely not what they used to be.
Now it's a combination of your eyes, and I find when I try to start at something that's very, very small, I sort of have to brace my arm against the workbench so my hand is steady enough so the soldering iron goes exactly where I want it to. Well, when you're working on a tube socket, you got plenty of space to put the soldering iron.
Yep, yep, that's true. By the way, AC2RU here.
So a lot of the new stuff, basically, you know, even the manufacturers, they send it back for repair, they toss the board and put a new one in. So, they don't even bother repairing, of course, it's too difficult. It's great for mass production, it keeps the price down initially, but as far as maintenance, basically it's not doable, except for replacing whole assemblies.
Yeah, well, that's the wave of the future. Everything's disposable, just throw it away and pop a new board in.
Exactly, exactly. And as long as the new board doesn't cost a small fortune, it probably is doable. The problem I find on some things is that when you look at the replacement parts, and if you have to do a job with more than, you know, one part or so, the parts add up almost to the cost of a new product.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think if you went to buy a car, for example, piece by piece, it probably cost you upwards of...
Yeah, did your clip lead come off? Because the last part of that transmission got to be noisy again.
I tried to get another bite with the clip lead. How's that?
Much better. Yeah, they say if you try to buy a car by parts, it would be like 3 or 4 times. What should be interesting is this whole China fiasco. You know, everybody's talking about bringing manufacturing back from China. I wonder what impact that's going to have on the cost of products, how much they're going to go up.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like you said, it's going to be a lot of things interesting. I mean, how many of these small companies are going to ever be able to come back? You know, how many are going to be lost? What the long-term unemployment is going to be. I mean, right now it's crazy, but once supposedly, quote-unquote, the economy opens up again, who is going to be able to come back? I mean, these little mom-and-pop stores that I have on the avenue here, I mean, they were barely holding on with the big box stores taking all their business anyway. I don't see how they're going to come back.
Well, that's the problem. They were barely making, as you say, it was sort of a hand-to-mouth operation. And I know we were in to see the guy who makes the orthotics for my wife, and he was on the phone screaming at his bank because he was trying to get some of the small business loan money, and it was all gone. You know, it went out there, and before you could shake a stick at it, it was gone. The banks weren't that cooperative in helping some of these small businesses get the money. Now we'll see what this new amount of money they're going to dump on the market is going to do, and see if some of the small businesses can get more of that than they got last time around. But now a lot of companies are going to disappear. And somebody who supposedly knows what they're talking about says that if we bring a lot of the stuff back from China, in order to stay competitive, they're going to have to automate whatever they make, so there's a minimal amount of manpower involved.
Yeah, well, that's always the promise with automation, but it always seems like you need a certain amount of people to tend to the machines that are doing the automating.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, you know, you look at the automotive industry, most of your cars put together by robots. And yeah, you need a team of people to make sure the robots put the wheels in the right place, but it's certainly nothing like the production lines of the Ford.